Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies, a podcast about people sharing extraordinary stories about how music has impacted their lives.
Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies. I'm your host, Annette Smith, and today we have a special guest, right? His name's Danny. He's a professional, stand-up comedian. You're a magician, you're an actor. You're from Tennessee, which is really, really cool. And I know that you have a passion for magic and comedy. You know, the past 20 years, you've been entertaining people with cards, coins, tying up women, anything else that you can make disappear, cracking jokes, right? You perform for celebrities and Super Bowl champions and Grammy award-winning artists. So please help me welcome Danny Whitston to the show, everyone. So I'm so excited to have you here. We're having some technical problems, but that's just the world that we live in, right? I love the world we live in a sense, because we get to do this and I would have never got to meet you. Or it could have been really cool to fly out to Tennessee though and do this. That would have been awesome.
Now, where are you at, Annette?
I'm in Canada, Calgary.
Canada, yes! I love Canadians. I do. Every Canadian I've ever met, I always love. So
really?
That's like a perfect track record for Canadians.
And every guy I've ever met, he's fell in love. So we got something in common.
I love Canada. And just a quick little history with Canada is, even Canadians don't know this, but probably the greatest magician who ever lived was Canadian.
Oh, really?
Most people like to think of Houdini as being like the greatest magician.
Yeah.
No, he was the greatest marketer, not magician. A guy by the name of Di Vernon was originally Canadian, and he was like Einstein to magic. So, and he was Canadian. So yeah, kudos to the Canadians.
Little fun fact. Have you ever been to Canada before?
I have not. And I would love to, like the Just for Last Comedy Festival. I'd love to go to. And not even to mention how many fantastic comics come out of Canada. I have not, but I do want to. You're not the first one to ask me. You know, like I said, I've actually had a few Canadians on my show, on my podcast.
So. Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
So before we get started, what's that?
I said I would definitely love to go, but yeah.
Well, you can come visit when you come here. So before we get started, I always like to ask my guests how their experience was putting their playlist together. And I feel like you have 64 hours and seven minutes on your playlist. So I feel like you went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, like 10 turned into like 7,000, right?
I love so much. I love so many songs of so type, you know, so many types, you know. And, you know, I catch myself. I'm like, oh, yeah, this one. Oh, God, yeah, this one. And, you know, most of my stuff is older music, but I've really tried so hard in it to not be that guy, that old guy, you know, that. So there is some new stuff. And to me, you know, I'm like 2010. Yeah, that's a brand new song. You know, I try to open an ear to some of the new stuff, even though I do think a lot of the new stuff is garbage. Not all of it, though.
Not all of it, but some of it. But I'm old school, too. I like the old school stuff, and I absolutely love your playlist. Brought back tons of memories, songs that I haven't listened to forever. So I love it. So we're going to get started on your first song. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Were you trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco?
I love Cypress Hill, right? Insane in the Membrane. Why do you love that song? It's such a good intro.
Well, it's a great intro, but it reminds me of high school. And of course, you know, I was smoking a lot of weed too in high school. So, but it was just, you know, it was just a fun time, you know? So I still like to listen to it. And it just, you know, I'm not doing the things I was doing back then. But it just takes you back to a fun memory, you know, of being young and fun and, you know, representing my gin, baby. So there we go. Cypress Hill.
When's the last time you smoked a joint?
You know what? It's legal in Canada, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunately, it's not legal here yet, but maybe it's been a little while. Yeah, a little while, you know. But now the big thing here is the gummies. They got like the loophole that they're using, like a loophole here in Tennessee, like the Delta 9 gummies. So they can sell those and you can get high if you eat those. But hopefully they'll make it legal and I can smoke it whenever the hell I want. You know?
That's crazy that it's not in the U.S. You would have thought for sure before Canada. We're always the last on deck with anything.
The cool thing with Canadians is you guys are always more open-minded, it seems like. It seems like to a lot of things. A lot of things across the board, actually. So, I don't know, though, maybe. But, yeah, big fan of Cypress Hill. That was, you know, when I was smoking a whole lot of weed. But that was 90s weed, too. So it's not the same as this kind of weed.
It's not Snoop Dogg's weed, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, I enjoyed 90s weed. Because, I mean, you could get high and not have a heart attack. So,
share a little bit about how it was growing up in high school. What kind of guy were you? Were you drama?
Gosh, I was I don't want to say I was a jerk. I wasn't a jerk. But I was, I fell into the, I listened to hip hop and I also listened to grunge. So I wasn't, but I didn't identify like as either or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I like the grunge kids wore the flannel shirts and, you know, and then the, your hip hop guys, you know, with the, you know, baggy pants and whatnot, you know, I just kind of identified in between somewhere because I hung out and listened to both kinds of music. But I was a good kid. I don't know. I wasn't. I mean, I was, but I wasn't, you know what I mean? Of course I smoked weed and had fun and did all that good stuff. And, I mean, I was nothing like I am now. If you would have told me back then, hey, Danny, you're going to be, you know, telling jokes and doing magic tricks for a living, I would have laughed and been like, oh, what the hell, you know? So
I'm curious how your dress code was back then. If you were kind of a mixture, were you just like the flannel shirts, dirty hair, and then baggy pants. So you just kind of look like
I was baggy pants, flannel shirt, but I had a fade, baby. My hair looked good. And I remember the edgiest thing back then in Tennessee, at least where we went to go in school, is like, I remember I had both my ears pierced. They're still pierced to this day, but I had both of them pierced with the loops. And, but the big thing was to get your tongue pierced, you know? And that was kind of like an edgy thing in 1994 in Tennessee, you know, if you had your tongue pierced. But now, you know, they have everything pierced, you know.
Did you get your tongue pierced?
No, I didn't. I never got that. I never did that. but I had a friend did. But yeah, I remember, though, in 94, honestly, walking down the hallway of my school, passing a joint around with me and my buddy, and it's just crowded and you just got away with it.
Yeah.
You know, you got away with it. You know, now that could never happen.
Jeez. What's the worst thing you did in school that maybe you didn't get caught for or you did get caught for?
Oh my gosh. Well, I can tell you this. I hope I can't go to jail now because it's been so long. I'll tell a quick story. Okay. Okay. I don't know, man. Oh my gosh. I'm going to be kind of vague. Okay. Well, we broke into this certain school after hours because we used to play basketball at this certain school. And they had a gym. So we would break in after hours and play in the gym. Well, one night, this certain place, we decided we wanted to check out the cafeteria. So we got a bunch of, we literally ransacked the cafeteria. And we're kids, by the way. And, you know, so we wound up with all these Skittles and all the, you know, cafeteria food and stuff that they had. And for somehow I got stuck with the milk. I don't know why I got stuck with the milk, but we all split it up and I got the milk. And I remember I was like, oh, how am I going to drink 15 crates of milk? You know, and where am I going to hide it? So I wind up sticking it under the house. It was like outside under the house. And I remember my dad one day he was out in the yard. He was like, what is that smell? You know, and he gets to look and it was all this spoiled milk. So he totally knew where it came from. And I wound up getting in deep, deep trouble with him. But luckily, the authorities never find out. So authorities don't watch this podcast. I don't know what you're talking about. That's been so long ago. Everybody's probably dead now. That could, you know, the authorities at the time.
That's right. They can't identify you. It's awesome. All right. Next song.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's tricky. Here we go.
Tricky. Run DMC.
I love that song. The, you know, for one, I love Run DMC. And I want to tell you this. I remember getting introduced to hip hop music as a little white child in Tennessee. I had my first black friend, and it was where I could, you know, barely remember. I mean, I don't know how old I was. I was so super young. And I'm so blessed that I got to grow up around black children and black people other than just whiteies, you know, because they introduced me to hip hop music and then Run DMC. And I remember because back, this is in the 80s, you know, I was a little kid in the 80s. And I remember my buddy's brother, who, by the way, we're best friends to this day. We're still great, close friends to this day.
Love it.
His brothers would walk around with the boom boxes. You know how cool that was in the 80s.
Yes.
You know, so we would see his older brothers walk around with the boom boxes. We're like, God, we gotta do that. That's the coolest thing. And they would always be blasting Run DMC. So UB Ellen and all these cool Run DMC songs from the 80s. And that was one of my favorites right there. So, and then also me being a magician, it just kind of works out, you know, maybe it strokes the ego a little bit,
I
you know,
so.
I don't know. Everybody's got that song that strokes your ego, you know?
Okay. When did you, cause you were mentioning that you didn't really, you know, get into being a magician and comedy when you were in high school. When did that start to come into fruition for you?
Well, I always liked to prank and joke because my father was a prankster. You know, he would always pull pranks on us and stuff. So I think I have that in me always. I didn't get in touch with my inner geek is what I call it until I was about 19, 20 years old, a late bloomer for magic. Because most magicians are given a magic kit when they're a young child and it began there. That didn't happen with me. No, I got bit by a magician on my neck right here. And then I woke up and I couldn't stop talking and touching cards. It was around that age. And I had actually started out in the beginning, like most people start doing restaurants showing, you know, when you suck, you're like, hey, look at my card tricks, you know? And I got into street performing. And working the street performing teaches you a whole lot as an entertainer because you have to be engaging. You have to make total strangers stop, care what you're doing, and then tip you at the end. So you learn a lot, but I did that for a few years. And then I realized that the sun isn't really good on my pasty, gingery skin. So I was like, well, let's check out the comedy clubs. So then I went to the comedy club and learned stand-up, literally didn't do any magic for 2 years in the club just to learn stand-up and became a house MC at our local club. And then figured out a way to make the both of them work together in the show. And here I am today. So kind of a late bloomer, but I've been at it now for 20 years. So it is what it is. It's what I do.
What's the best prank your dad has played on you?
Sometimes he could go. Now he's done some really good ones. He got my buddy with my dad was like MacGyver too. So he was like MacGyver. He could make all these things. That was his talent, you know. He got us one night, me and all my friends in our bedroom. We were in there talking. I can't remember what we were talking, me and my buddies, we were, you know, talking. And somebody had literally brought up ghosts. So we were talking about, the ghosts aren't real, this and that. And then out of nowhere, we start hearing this creepy sound just coming out. We can't even identify where it was coming from. Like, what the hell is that? Who's laughing? What is this? You know? And then we take off running out of the room. And then my dad just falls down the hallway dying laughing. He had run an extension cord with a radio with one of those Halloween tapes, you know, and he just plugged it in. All of a sudden you start hearing this witch laugh and everything coming out and it creeps, you know, terrifies us, you know. And it was just so perfectly timed because we just happened to be talking about creepy stuff, you know? So it was so weird, but yeah, he would do some, you know, he could do some pretty gnarly stuff too. He got my buddy really good because my dad was always working on cars too, you know, like he's a MacGyver kind of guy. And I don't even know how he did this. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he did, but he had something that he had charged. So it had an electrical charge to it. And I guess normally if you touch it, give you a little shock and you wouldn't expect it and he'd get a kick out of it. Well, apparently he had charged it too powerful. And my buddy, he was like, you know, hey, Chris, can you come out here and give me a hand here on this car? And, you know, my buddy, Chris, he was always real helpful. He looked up to Dad. Yeah, Mr. Whitson, you know, he went out there and he's over by the car hood. And he's like, here, just hold this. And as soon as he held it, he shocked the shit out of him, man. And I mean, I think it scared my dad at first because he's like, you know, because literally my buddy, he like went completely pale. He dropped it. But once everything was fine, you know, he was okay. We all got a good laugh at it. But you never knew what my dad was going to do. You know, he was always, you know, having a good time, you know. So I think that's kind of where I get it, you know, especially my show. My show's, you know, it's full of magic, pranks too. It's a pranky kind of show and stand-up comedy. So it's a blend of all those.
Sounds like you got a lot from your dad, like that kind of got transferred down to you, which is really, really cool as well. All right, you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
Give it up for Naughty by Nature.
Yeah, so good. Hip-hop, right?
Well, you know, it's another one of those. It once again, it's another one of those era, 90s era song, you know. But it's, you know, it's about, it's upbeat, you know, it's happy. It's, you know, and I'm a high energy person, you know, when you talk about my show is very high energy. So I love that song, you know, it kind of gets you out of your shell. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you ever been like heckled on your show?
Oh before? Yeah. I mean, you get a lot of people ask that, there's different types of hecklers. Of course, over the years, I have been. It doesn't happen as much as probably what you might think it does. One thing lucky for me is I kind of establish in my show right off the bat that, yeah, you may not want to heckle me because I've got, you never know what I'm going to do, you know? Yeah. But I mean, it does happen. But you got different type of hecklers. Like I said, you have the drunk idiots who are just straight assholes.
Yeah.
Then you have drunk idiots who think they're helping. And I'll tell you a quick story about that kind of guy. I had a guy, and you never, every situation is completely different. So you handle it differently. But there was this drunk idiot. He was an idiot. He was sitting in the front and he thought he was helping. So I had to keep him at bay. So, you know, I made fun of him a little bit. But now, you know, everybody else in the room, you know, got it, you know, but he thought he was part of the show. And instead of shutting him down and pissing him off, you know, let little Johnny feel like he was part of the show. And at the end, he was so drunk. He came up and he bought 12 T-shirts from me. So if I would have walked the guy out the room, I would have never have sold 12 T-shirts. So he woke up the next day and he's like, where did I get all these damn Danny Whitson shirts? You know, but
how do people react when you tell them what you do for a living?
That's always awkward too, because they look at you like you're a little slow.
You know, like they say, just, do a magic trick for me or tell me.
Well, that's the other thing. That's the other thing about being a magician. It's not like being a doctor or a you know, a carpenter or something. You know, you got to prove, oh, you're a magician. Well, prove it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, you know, I mean, it's, I guess a doctor, you know, as soon as people find out a doctor is a doctor, they try to show them a rash. So like the same thing, I told a guy I did magic and he showed me a rash. So but no, it is weird though, because a lot of times I tell people I'm an entertainer just because I don't want to like, you know, go down that whole you know, rabbit hole sometimes.
How do you practice your material?
Well, back in the day, I used to attend things called open mics, which nothing against open mic. People do open mics. I used to work it out. But now these days, when I do write new stuff, I sandwich it in between the old stuff.
Okay.
That way, if it doesn't work, well, it's okay. You go back to the old stuff, to the regular show. But now I'm constantly working on new stuff, new things. And, you know, it just goes in the show. You know, it'll be something new that I'll put in there. So constantly, always doing something, trying to come up with something.
How do you come up with your material?
Well, mostly because a lot of my material now are it's stories that actually really happen. And that's what people don't, that's one thing a lot of people, when they think magic and comedy go hand to hand, not really. And because good comedy is telling the truth and good magic is bullshit. So you have to make both of them work together well. And so a lot of my act will be, I will tell a story, something that actually really happened to me. And then later on, you may see a reference to that joke in a trick. So everything has to flow together. But the material that I get, it's from real life stuff. I'm always looking for material. A comic is constantly looking for material, constantly.
I love that you said that. Me and my girlfriend, we went to a comedy show and they asked us to judge it. And it was so inspirational to me because I felt like, I feel like sometimes I'm quite the center of attention and I'm always joking and I'm always telling fun, you know, being funny and all of this stuff. And I have thought about, you know, taking a comedy class and I'm always like, well, where am I get my material? And I've had like such a crazy life that I'm like, oh my God, it would just be nonstop. Like
there's plenty of stuff. And, you know, always, you know, the funny is there. The funny is happening in real life constantly all around you. And it's just that, you know, a lot of people want to compare comics to philosophers. And I wouldn't say, I don't like to put that label on comedians.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
There's actually philosophers, folks, that actually are really great, by the way. So let's not pee on them. But no, what a comic does, though, a comic is constantly looking at his environment, but he's looking for the humor. Or she's looking for the humor. I hate to say
that's a great way to be, though, right? It's such a positive. You could put such a positive spin on your life. You're a comedian, and you're like, okay, my son just shit on the floor. How can I turn this around? And
the other thing is something where people don't understand, because a lot of times people will say, I can't believe you joke about this topic, or you told a joke about that, and it's not that the comic is trying to be edgy or trying to be dark or is heartless. No, what it is as comics, what we do, we find when we hurt, we find humor in it to soften the pain. And that's what a lot of times that a comic is trying to do. Not trying to downplay the situation or downplay the seriousness of anything, you know. That's where I think a lot of people get that confused too.
I really like that, though. It's a good way to learn and live.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely it is. Absolutely.
Next song. I love it. Get a grip,
motherfucker. Yeah. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. So
good. And B.I.G. Juicy.
B.I.G. Okay, well, I'm a B.I.G. fan. Okay, you know, back in the day, you know, you have people that jumped on the Tupac wagon or Biggie. Now, nothing against Tupac. Okay, I know he was an activist in some ways and stuff, but I think talent wise, I think Biggie was the guy back then. And I'm still a Biggie fan, and it would have been amazing to see what he would have created and put out if he would have been around, you know. But I like the way, you know, like, once again, a lot of stuff now is different from how I listened to it back then, because now as I listen to stuff, in stories about with Biggie, like before he made it in the music, whenever Puff Daddy or Diddy now.
He's got four different names. He's like Prince.
He keeps changing his name. But I think when he went to him about and offered him a record deal and the opportunity, you know, Biggie was like, man, don't even talk to me if you're not serious about this, that this. And that's how show business is overall, you know, because you hear so many things and so many opportunities that come your way that just never happen. Yeah. You know, that you want to tell somebody about. You're like, oh my God, I've got an opportunity to be on this television show. I want to tell somebody so bad, and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, after hearing that, I relate more to Biggie now. But he went on to, and you know, to do fantastic things, you know. So love me some Notorious B.I.G.
I love it. What has been your most memorable moment in your career so far?
Probably, you know, I always talk about this show because this was probably like the my favorite show. Let me just say this was the first time my son got to see my stand-up comedy show. And it was in his town where he was going to college at the time. It's a college town. And I remember, you know, getting to the venue. Venue's packed, great little venue, and it's packed out. And I'm looking backstage and I'm looking for my son because he's supposed to be there. And I'm like, where are you at? And he's like, I'm here in the very back. And I'm like, okay, you're at the door in case your old man sucks. You know, he's like, I'm out of here, you know. So I go up and you know, I do my show and I absolutely kill. I kill. And there was no greater feeling in the world than getting to kill in front of my son, you know? So that's right there, the one that really stands out a lot. But I've done some cool stuff like, you know, you talk about Canadians. Let's talk about one of my favorite Canadians in the entire world, Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall. You know, I grew up watching Kids in the Hall. I got to do a sketch show with Kevin McDonald.
Oh, cool.
And which was super cool. It was really cool because he was doing a little tour and we had to, he was putting out a thing for comics. It's like, hey, I'm coming through. If you'd like to be a part of the show, write a sketch, or you want to do a little casting call for the show, this such a state. So I had been playing around with a sketch that I wrote. It's really ridiculous, but it's about a superhero he's not a superhero. He's a drunk. But he thinks he has superhero powers and he goes by the name exactly. But he goes by the name, the Flask. Instead of the Flash, he's the Flask, you know? And, so I wrote this dumb sketch and I'm all excited. I'm like, oh God, here, I hope I get on, you know? And, I get there and there's all these people and they're reading, there's these playwrights and all this fancy schmancy stuff. And, Kevin gets to mine. And I read mine. Of course, I'm nervous as hell because this is Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall, you know. And I'm just like, oh, God. And I read it. And he stops and he goes, you had no way of knowing this, but we actually had a sketch very similar to that that was supposed to make the show.
No way.
I love it. So I was like, oh, God. So anyways, my sketch made the show. So that was really cool. That was a really cool moment, too. Getting to work with Kevin McDonald because he's a super nice guy.
Yeah,
super sweet.
That's amazing. I love that. Your experiences and just obviously doing what you do for a living, it's amazing to be put in those kind of situations or environments where it gets to kind of explode your talent a little bit more, you know, build your center of influence a little bit more. And like, I can tell that you absolutely love that part of it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It was the creative outlet is there and you get to, you know, and you never know. I mean, just sometimes opportunities come along and you just, you know, you need to be ready to jump on it. And if you're not jumping on anyways, you know what I mean? Because it's opportunity.
Just go try. I love it. Hey, one of my favorite bands in the world. I haven't had anybody have him on the podcast yet. So this is really cool.
Crash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said shit.
I love Easy. I love it. When I started this podcast back in August, I had no idea It was crazy, the playlist coming in, and I had no idea what people were going to send me. And it was so interesting, the types of people, just from their playlist, if I was going to connect with them or not. Like, I could just tell I love all sorts of music, right? And I could always be like, I don't know how this podcast is going to go, right? Because like 85% of the songs I've never even heard before. But which is super rare, because I have listened to, you know, from the 30s to now. So I've have such a wide range of music. But your playlist was obviously number one. And I got to kind of relive those days again, where I was like obsessed with like NWA and Eazy-E. Yeah. And, you know, I loved it.
You know, NWA was what they were trying to do. You know, I don't think people clearly understand. Well, it got lost, like a lot of things get lost in all the BS. But they were basically trying to make awareness of the culture that they were living in, you know. And, you know, eventually, you know, corporate America gets a hold of stuff and crap gets lost. And the message, actually, the real message gets lost, you know, the awareness part of it, you know. But that song right there is just, I mean, it's just a, you know, it's a song about his daily life in the hood, you know, in the ghetto. But at the same time, it's got such a damn catchy beat that, I mean, you just, it's addicting. Now, there is a cover of that song. I discovered this, and it is, let me look this up, because it is on my playlist too. So let me look this up real quick. Oh my gosh, it is so funny. Hold on. I love it. Well, it's one of those like, remember like when Alien Ant Farm redid Smooth Criminal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of got like a, okay. Look up Boys in the Hood by Dynamite Hack.
Okay. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have to check that out.
And I just recently discovered this. This may have been out forever, but
I'm going to check it out.
I catch myself playing it and I'm like, I love this.
Do you have any rituals before you get on stage? Anything like, do you need peace and quiet? Do you need like everybody to kind of get lost and let you kind of get centered?
Yeah, I don't, because I tell people, you know, I don't get nervous, but you do get nervous. You get adrenaline nerves.
Yeah.
Good nerves. And right before I go on stage, I don't like to be talking or to anybody, you know, kind of, because I'm a real high energy act. So I want to go out there and, you know, get them as fast as I can. So, you know, I do. I don't particularly, you know, do a certain thing or anything, but yeah. I'm in my head, you know, and just, you know, trying to get the butterflies in my stomach to flow in a pattern. You know what I mean? So that's as cheesy as that sounds.
It's not cheesy. Some people have crazy rituals. And I think we have to get ourselves in a state to go and perform. Right?
Yeah.
I'm a huge believer.
Now, I will tell you the song I come out to a lot of times.
Oh, okay. What's the song you come out to?
In comedy clubs, you get your own theme music, which is pretty cool. You know what I mean? But I've been coming out to a lot here lately too. And this is for years. When I say a lot lately, it's been for years. I come out to Sabotage by Beastie Boys.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because it's a high energy. It's a, you know, wake up song. And, you know, it's like a punch in the mouth kind of fade song, you know, and that's how my show is. My show is like, there's no sleeping at my show. It's not going to happen.
That's good.
So that's a good way to come out on stage too.
Have you ever like died on stage? Like just been like, what the hell?
I'll tell you this. this is the thing is the very, I always tell this story. Okay. This is back in the day whenever I was, I transitioned from the streets to the comedy clubs. And I had already told myself, I was like, well, you know, in order to learn stand-up comedy, you have to just do comedy. You have to sit up there and bare your soul with your jokes. And you have to show a side of yourself to that audience. So you can't do magic. Now later on, you can do whatever you want. You can mix and blend air, whatever you want. But in the process of learning stand up, you have to learn that's all you can do. So anyways, I was on this show. It's what we call in the business a bringer show. And basically that means you bring your mom and dad, I'll bring my mom and dad, you bring your cousins, everybody, you know. So everybody's there to see their own people anyways. But there was 11 comics on this freaking show. And I was number 11. And here I was, my idiot ass is like, well, I'm a headliner tonight. You know, I'm cleaning up, you know. So anyways, I get up on stage and I'm telling my little jokes. And it's a packed house. And I'm eating a bag of balls. I'm just bombing. And it's awful because I had never really experienced that before. Not in a packed room like this. And no one is laughing. No one's liking my jokes. And inside of my head, I had this thought. I was thinking, you know what, jerks? I can entertain you. I can pull out a deck of cards. I can pull out, you know, a rope trick. I can entertain you. But I knew if I did that, I would never learn. So I had to sit there and on stage and bomb and then get in my car. And that's the longest drive home of your life. Okay. Because you question everything you're doing. But this is the thing, is that bombing is good for you. Every comic has done it. It teaches you that you're going to live. You know what I mean? It's going to be okay. You're going to live. But there's and now when you see like especially your friend on stage, if you got a comic friend on stage and they toss a joke out there and it doesn't hit, it's like, hilarious. No. It's hilarious.
I'm trying to save you.
But yeah, that's my bombing story right there. That's the one that sticks out.
Right, next song.
Hi, my name is
what?
My name is
who?
My name is
his name Sadie.
Hi, my name.
I love Eminem. Such a great artist.
I do too. You know, Eminem, I say this about Eminem. Eminem is the one musician. Now, I'm not saying there's none out there, but Eminem's the one musician that could have been a stand-up comic. He is such, and he could have been not just a stand-up comic. Eminem could have been an amazing stand-up comic just because his writing ability and what the way he thinks and looks at things is just on another level.
So he's always trying to find a joke out of that, right?
Like, absolutely. Well, he does a lot of great jokes in his lyrics when you hear it. You know, there's something that'll make you laugh. And I'm like, man, imagine if he wrote jokes the way he does his songs. My God. I mean, that guy is so talented. I mean, it's insane. It is. It's crazy.
Who's your favorite stand-up comedian?
Wow. I mean, I got a few that I really love.
Name a boy and name a girl.
I really like Bill Burr. I love Bill Burr. He cracks me up every time. I love him. And gosh, so many female comics. And this is the thing about female comics that I want to say. And I'm not one of these people that I liked. I don't separate male and female comics. Your comics, you know. And but I do know women in comedy have been shorthanded for so long, and it's so much bullshit. Because there are so many funny women, it is insane. And it's crazy the amount of funny women right now that you haven't even heard of yet, Annette, that are on their way up to being something special. Because there's I've worked with a lot of female comics.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're just amazing. So right now, wow, this is a tough one. This is a really tough one. Well, you know what? I want to go with this. Let's go with, now you got me thinking. You really do got me thinking. My favorite female comic. Okay. She's filthy right now. She's absolutely filthy. But the thing I like about her is that she's not afraid to be say or do, to be super, to be, she's like Jim, I don't know if you know who Jim Norton is, but she's like Jim Norton level of TMI. She's TMI and Nikki Glaser right now. but now it changes a lot with the women, because there's so many, we haven't seen, our goat yet in female comedy. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
We have with male comics, but female, we haven't seen it yet. It's so, the gate is wide open. And like I said, there's comics right now, like the top five comics actually right now I could name that you've never heard of, are most of them are female.
Oh, that's awesome. I love hearing that. And I think it's finally, they're just comfortable in their own skin and fuck it. I'm going to talk about my vagina and I'm going to do this. And if you don't like it, and here's a picture of my boobs and do it and just deal with it though. Like just deal with it. Right. Doesn't Bill like do his comedy act with no shirt on or something like that? We have to look
that's
at his
Bert Kreshner.
Yeah. Know, like what the hell is that? Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why not? I love it. So all
go for them, it.
Right. Exactly. Hey, another good song.
Hanging around downtown by myself, and I had so much time to sit in.
Like I haven't heard Sex and Candy for, like, I feel like I was in grade 7 or something. It's been a long time.
That reminds me, grade 7, really? Gosh, you're making me feel ancient now. actually, that reminds me whenever my wife's name is Antoinette. So close to yours.
Wow.
That reminds me whenever we were dating. I just remember that song was popular and it always seemed like it always played all the time whenever we were rolling around. So it's just, you know, one of those, you know, there's so much, it's weird that music, you will like it just because it reminds you of a certain emotion or feeling that you had, you know? Do you listen to music in the morning when you wake up? I think I do too. And I notice when I get up in the mornings versus when I don't listen to music, I'm so much more productive if I play my song list and listen to music that day.
Yeah. And that's, we have some property outside of Calgary, and one of my favorite parts is it's only an hour away, but my favorite part driving there with my husband is being able to go through the podcast playlist that I have coming up. It's my favorite part. I love it.
Awesome.
Cause then I get to get in their brain a little bit and kind of figure out questions that I get to ask them. So I want to be completely different. I don't want it. I don't want scripted. I like it raw. I just, you know, I don't want to do like massive background checks on people. I just want them to be, you know, I just want them to be who they are and just like our connection, not like, oh, hey, I saw you here. And this is what I, you know, I don't like that part. I want this podcast to be completely different than what's really out there and then allow my guests to have a totally different open space where they're like, oh, I got my question. So Annette's going to ask me this. And, you know, if anybody, just for anybody knows, if you ask for your questions, you're not getting your questions, right? Like why would, I'm not going to have you prepared. I want you to think outside the box. So
that's think right.
Very true.
Organic. That's what right. I always tell people online that I will ask you, there's one question I do tell them be prepared for. And I always ask them, cause I have a lot of entertainers on, I always ask them to tell a hell gig story, you know, but other than that, let's keep it organic and flow. Let's just have a conversation like two human beings.
That's right. Know? Do you have any pet peeves, Dan?
I do. And I've got a lot actually. If I sit here and nitpick, I'm becoming that old man, and I'm like, why am I becoming that old guy? But I can't stand these loud muffler cars that the damn kids are driving these days. You know, I can't stand that. If you're MCing a comedy show, okay, and your job is to bring up the next comic, have your ass on stage when that comic is done. Okay, that was a new one that popped up the other day. I was like, God, that really bugged the shit out of me. I don't know. There's all kinds of, I guess I have little pet peeves. It's getting worse as I get older.
As you get older. I agree with the loud cars. I'm over it. I'm not 16 anymore. Let's get a Cadillac converter on that. Let's figure it out. It does not sound good.
They're stealing Cadillac. Are they doing that in Canada? Because that's a big damn thing here.
Yes, they just literally stole my daughter's Cadillac converter like 3 months ago.
That's insane, man. It's crazy.
I know.
I don't know. But maybe that's it. Maybe they're just stealing all of them and these kids can't help it. Maybe.
Steal some tires or something. Like, that's a big job. Like,
I will tell you a quick story. I knew I was getting old. I think last summer, I'm sitting inside and I hear all these kids, all this racket coming. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I look out my window and there's these kids in my front yard, and my front yard's like a hill. So yeah. And they're riding their bikes down the hill, down the street, and they're coming back up to my yard doing this. And I'm like, what the? You know, so I go out and I open the door and I'm like, man, what are you doing? He's like, we're just riding our bikes down the hill. And I'm like, stop. No, this is my yard. Get the hell out. You know, and then I looked and I was like, I literally just screamed, get off my lawn. I am officially that guy now. You know, I just yelled at kids. They're like, old man Whitson ran us off.
That's right. So, don't go to his house. Wagon Wheel by Old Crow Medicine Show instead of Darcy Rucker.
Oh, absolutely.
Not bad, but I love that.
I think Darcy Rucker is a fantastic musician. He is. Old Crow Medicine Show, first of all, I love them. They are organic and, you know, and just grit to the core, you know, and they put on a hell of a show too. That song, you know, and the interesting thing about that song is they mention Johnson City, Tennessee, which is where my favorite show I ever had was in Johnson City, Tennessee, where my son, first time he ever seen me perform. Little connection there, a little callback story.
What's your favorite concert you've ever been to?
Let's think.
Maybe one that stands out that you're like, oh, this is amazing.
I've got one. Gosh, it's crazy that I'm super stumped on this. Well, you know what? Let me say this. Okay, this is going to sound cheesy, but I want to say this. I'm the entertainment director for the festival here in town.
Yeah.
And I did a throwback to the 90s. I wanted to kind of bring some 90s hip hop to the town, because usually in the years past, I'm new at this position. And in the past, they booked a lot of like 60s and 70s type bands. And the demographic is changing here in my hometown. So I was like, people who listen to this music are getting my age, you know. So and this is not going to be like a super cool band. This is but the moment was cool. OK, so I had booked All for One.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Remember, I can love you like that. I can make you the one. You know, so they were there and it was a fantastic show. And it was cool because I was there with my wife and we were doing the whole reminiscing back in the day thing, standing there, you know, right here in our hometown, yeah. You know, watching this band. So, that one right there was really special. Now later, back in the day, I would have said stuff like Pearl Jam and stuff like that. But, you know, definitely. You know, that was a fun moment.
I love it. This is your last song. Can you believe it? I'm picking
it. Gosh.
How can you not love AC/DC, right?
It's impossible because, if you... People do not understand. Okay. Arguably I don't care what you say. They're in the top five greatest rock bands of all time. You cannot dismiss that because how many hit songs AC/DC has had? It is insane. And when you just talk about kick your ass rock and roll music, dude, AC/DC, it doesn't get any better than that. And I love, especially the past 2 years, I've been really crap about this, but one of my hobbies is I do like to go jogging, you know, and I will go on these long jogs with my playlist, and songs like AC/DC and stuff like that help you keep pumped and going, one of those kind of songs. So definitely listen to a lot of AC/DC, but when you think about it, and I've had this discussion before, and now you're kind of like a music guru. So it would be interesting to get your opinion about this. AC/DC is in my top five. And I always bring this up. I'm like, I think the top five greatest rock bands of all time, they're not American. I don't think they're American. I think most of them you have to put in from, like, I mean, you got to, whether if you like the Rolling Stones or not, the Rolling Stones had some years where they kicked straight ass. You know, they killed it. And then you got AC/DC, and then you've got, you know, are you a Pink Floyd fan?
I am, yeah.
How in the hell, okay, when you look at Pink Floyd, okay, they had a sound back then that no one came close to having to this day, no one has a Pink Floyd sound, you know? So I don't know. And like, you know, America is supposed to be like the birthplace of rock and roll, you know, but it's like when we look at the all time rock, greatest rock bands, they're, I can't give one to an American rock band. I mean, can you, is there one that you can throw out there?
Well, I love Motley Crue. So I'll give it
Motley Crue. Motley Crue was, I mean, for the era, they were straight badass.
Yeah.
Straight badass. And they straight kicked ass. But I mean, you know, when I look like overall, I'm just like, oh gosh, it's tough.
When you kind of break it down like that, it's quite interesting because you're right. Lots of people believe that all these rock bands came from America, but really it's like Australia. It's, you know, the UK. It's
UK. Yeah. UK puts out a lot of,
I know,
you know what? I do got a theory. And I think this is with art, and tell me this, because first of all, not saying anything against Canada at all, but Canada has put out, I think that the crappier the weather where you live, the better the art. Because, I mean, like, if you look at, like, Jimi Hendrix was up in, like, Seattle, you know, and then all the grunge movement came out of Seattle, you know, and all this talent comes out of, like, and then, like, the UK, the weather sucks there. And in Canada, you know, like, I can go back to Canada and name, you know, you got amazing comedians that come out of Canada, and a lot of fantastic magicians that come out of Canada. Now here's something interesting about Canada is that I've noticed, it's like Canadian rock music has its own sound. It's like you hear a lot of it, like in, like you'll hear it in like the Kids in the Hall, you'll hear the Canadian or Letterkenny, show Letterkenny, absolutely love. You know, and it takes a while to get on board with Letterkenny, because at first you're not used to Canadian humor, and then you start picking up on the Canadian humor. You're like, oh my God, this is great.
I can't watch it. You know what I mean? My husband watches it. I can't. I actually feel like I'm getting stupider as I watch it. Like, what's happening right now? Like, I can understand the concept, and I appreciate the concept, but for me to go and binge watch Letterkenny, I'd fucking kill myself. I couldn't do it. I'd be like, I just literally, like, honestly,
in Canada, is it like punk? Is it like really like the rock? Is it kind of got like a punk feel to it?
Do you know who Nickelback is?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So it'd be more like that, right? Gotcha. Where they kind of started out rock, but obviously to get on the radio, you gotta bow down to the kings, right?
Yeah. That, do you ever get that feeling too? Like, I guess it's like, it's a hipster thing, but do you ever discover that one artist and you're like, oh, I love this person, this is great, and then they get popular and then they start really going to hell in a handbag?
Yeah.
You know, we started watching that show, Yellowstone.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And, I had been listening to Ryan Bingham for years, you know, and now he's on the show. And I'm like, God, Ryan Bingham, please don't start sucking. Please don't start sucking now that you're hit the big time, you know, but it's weird. It is odd.
So I want to give you an opportunity just to share a little bit about yourself. I know you have where can we find you? Where can we stalk you? You know, I know you have a podcast, all of those types of things. Please tell our junkies where we can go and stalk you and find you.
Absolutely. First, my website, DannyWhitsonMagic.com. You can see where I'm going to be. You can contact me that way if you ever want to book me. I would love to come entertain for you. I do private events as well, just not comedy clubs. I'm all over. I do corporate. So any of that good stuff, DannyWhitsonMagic.com. On social media, it's Facebook, Danny Whitson Magic and Comedy. And Instagram has been a big thing here lately, that at Super Magic Boy. So I would really appreciate your follow on Instagram. The Abracadam Podcast is the podcast that I host, and it's on every platform wherever you listen to podcasts at, the Abracadam. Also, I want to give a big shout out here in probably around spring. I want to say springtime, maybe early summer. I'm in a movie that is going to be on Amazon Prime that you can see. It's called WJHCAM. It's a, and I'll just tell you right off the bat, it's a comedy horror movie, and it's about the end of the world. So actually it's about a DJ that moves down south, and he can only get a job at a Christian radio station. And it takes place in 1999. And for you kids that may be too young to remember, this was the Y2K scare. So people are actually calling into the radio station, afraid the world's going to end, thinking the rapture is going to come, and that we're all going to be sucked away into the sky. And it turns out the end of the world really does happen. So it's a good movie. I play the part of Pastor Sparks. I'm a faith healer. And I'm obsessed with the video game Street Fighter too. So Hadouken. There we go. So you can see that on Amazon Prime, either late spring, early summer, I believe.
I love it. Thank you so much, Danny, for being on this show. But before I let you go, one last question, words of wisdom, right? Obviously, you've been through lots of adversity, lots of different things in your life. What would be some words of wisdom that you would leave?
Words of wisdom. Never trust a guy with one hand in his pocket. I've learned that. And then also listen to music when you first wake up. It'll make you productive. You'll feel a lot better, and so much better than just sitting there staring, you know, watching some stupid, you know, TV show first thing. So listen to music when you first wake up, man. Do it.
I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you so much. So much fun. And we're going to probably have to meet like 165 more times just to get through your playlist.
And that this was a blast. It really was. This was great. I had fun. Thank you for having me on.
You're so welcome. Thanks for listening today. Hope you enjoyed the show. New episodes out every Monday. Please share with a friend and subscribe because you want to. And like me because you like me. Leave a comment so we can connect. And if you have a great playlist and you want to share, I'd love to have you on the show. Please reach out to me on Instagram at The Music Junkies Podcast.